You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Boxing Podcast with Steve Bunce. Good to have you with us ahead of a big night of boxing on Friday night. Anthony Yard taking on Travis Reeves for a light heavyweight title. Boxing returning to the Royal Albert Hall for the second time since 1999. And I'm delighted to be joined by Peckham's global ambassador, Steve Bunce, joins me on the line. Steve, good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, good morning to you. Peckham's global ambassador will be going back to the Royal Albert Hall. Now, that's a sentence you never thought you'd utter. I was with the global ambassador, Anthony Joshua, last week, and he's really proud of it. I threw it out there as a bit of a joke. No, he's really proud of he's a William Hill Global Ambassador. He takes his role really seriously, which I thought was terrific.
That's good to hear. Just before we get stuck into the fighting this weekend, quick word on the heavyweights. You just mentioned Anthony Joshua
again.
World heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder, he's been ordered by the WBC to defend his title against the mandatory challenger Dominic Brazil. Is this an unusual situation because that fight between Brazil and Dillian White's now been cancelled?
Well, the fight between Dillian White and Dominic Brazil was ordered on February the 12th.
Yeah.
And yet on February the 26th, the other one was ordered, Wilder against Brazil. I feel for Dillian White. He's been cast aside. What it turns out that back in October of 2017 in Baku, Azerbaijan, the WBC convention, I swear to you, I'm not reading this from a James Bond book, it turns out that for some reason Brazil was made the mandatory challenger for Deontay Wilder's title. And Wilder has since had two fights since then, but for a variety of reasons, Brazil was taken a back seat. However, now Brazil's forcing his claim, and he managed to get out of a White fight, can't blame him, get into a Wilder fight, can't blame him. Unfortunately, I feel a little bit for Dillian White, who last year beat three really, really good guys compared to the one guy that Dominic Brazil beat. So I feel Dillian White has been overlooked. So it looks like we'll get a fight May 18, Barclays Center, New York. That's the favourite. That's not absolutely done and dusty, but it's nearly done. Wilder will be defending his WBC title. And then in the same city a couple of weeks later, Joshua will be defending his belt. And at some point, possibly in May, Tyson Fury will fight in America, probably Las Vegas. And at some point, probably in May, also, maybe even in April, Dillian White will fight in America. You know, the American heavyweight scene, which for about 15 years was empty, 20 years was empty, there was nothing there. It was all happening in Europe. Suddenly, they said, we like these big guys, they're entertaining. And that's all down to Fury and Wilder in Los Angeles last December. Simple as that.
Steve, you got last week's prediction spot on as well. Remiss of me not to mention at the top of the podcast, Chris Eubank Jr. beating James DeGale on points. What did you make to the fight?
Well, it was a terrific fight for one round. I thought DeGale looked really good. Because if you remember rightly on the pod, I said I've been thinking it's Eubank for weeks and weeks. However, this week, I've seen DeGale and he looks so sharp. I'm not going to change my opinion, but he looks so good. First round, I thought I've made a rick here. He looked sharp in that first round. Then he got hurt and dropped in the second. And then from that point until the final bell, it was a struggle just to be in the ring. It was a really hard fight. I announced he'd retired after the fight, doing some Five Live stuff. And thankfully, he reinforced it a couple of days later. He's had a good career, made plenty of money. Now we'll see a bit more of Eubank. And Eubank won the fight just by being busier, which is what we did say on the pod. If he's just busier, he wins. If he was busier, he would have beat George Groves. Don't worry about that. You just got to, you know, you can't not throw any punches and win a fight. It doesn't work that way. So okay. I was delighted and nice to get it right as well.
Yeah, it was. Good bet from you, Bunty, last week. Let's talk about this week then. Royal Albert Hall, the venue. And as I just mentioned at the top of the podcast, second time hosting boxing since 1999. It's pretty exciting, isn't it, Bunty? Because there's been a rich history of top class fights at the venue. It was Frank Bruno's home and it evokes memories of Prince Nassim Hamed's ring walk back in 1995 as well.
Yeah, and just about everybody. I mean, if you just close your eyes and you know, and scatter gun through your brain all the boxers from about the 50s, 60s, and every single one of them, Henry Cooper, Joe Bugner, John Conti, John H. Tracy, Charlie Magri, Maurice Hope, Ken Buchanan, all of our world champions and our great British champions all fought there. And that continued till about 1999 when, boom, suddenly it was all over. And the venue stopped having boxing. We had one fight since. Billy Joe Saunders had a fight there in about 2015 or 2013, something like that. Then they closed the doors again. So we're back. It's an interesting card. It's a lively card. You know, you might be able to safely back all the winners, but the method might be the interesting thing. But more than that, if people have not been to boxing at the Royal Albert Hall and they're not sure where they're going to be in the next 20 years, assuming it vanishes for another 20 years, get yourself along, because it is a delight and a pleasure. There's a good argument for it being the best boxing venue in the world when it's full. It's nowhere near as big as people imagine. It only holds about 4,500, 5,000. But boy, oh boy, it's legend. It really is.
Let's talk about the headline fight then. Anthony Yard versus Travis Reeves. And you mentioned short prices for this card. Anthony Yard is 1-66 to win this fight. The draw 33-1. Travis Reeves is 14-1. Nicknamed the Beast, Anthony Yard. And he's hoping to be challenging for the WBO World Light Heavyweight title by the end of this year. Sergei Kovalev currently holds that. He was actually offered that fight last year with Sergei Kovalev, but his team thought that wasn't the right time, and he's facing Travis Reeves, who's 17-3-2, his record, 10-round light heavyweight fight, and Anthony Yard a really short price. And you said it wasn't the right time for Yard.
No, it wasn't, and even this Saturday or Friday wouldn't be the right time. Yard needs a couple of tricky test and he'll get one. And just to pick up on 1-66, there's a little team called Paris Saint-Germain. They played a little team called Man U last night. 1-66 was the price.
We know how that ended, didn't we, Steve?
Thank you. Absolutely we do. So, I'll tell you what's interesting about Yard. Even Yard admits he probably needed harder fights. He's at this stage now, 4 years a pro, 17 fights, 16 of them quick. He's dropped his opponents a total of 30 times. 3-0 times. He's heavy-handed. He's patient, and that's a contradiction, because generally guys that are heavy-handed knockout artists, they just go for it. No, but he's patient. It's a on paper, this it's a walkover. That's why the bookies have backed it that way. But there's something about Reeves that I like, and it's not the fact he's 38 and he didn't turn pro until he was 32. I don't necessarily like that. Although he wasn't in prison, he was trained to be an engineer, so that's also quite good. That goes in his merit a column. What I like about him is he's a slick fighter. Now, what's missing so far from Yard's career are slick fighters. He's met a couple of brave Frenchmen and a couple of brave Eastern Europeans, brave guys, tough guys that take a shellacking and go down after 5 or 6 or 7 rounds. He hasn't yet met what I would classify as a typical, slippery, well-schooled American. Now, this guy's coming in with seasoned men in his corner. This guy's a product of hard gyms in Philadelphia and also Baltimore and also New York. Hard fights. Fights where against other seasoned guys. Not guys you see all the time winning and losing world title fights, but seasoned guys. And I quite like this guy's style. Now, Yard might clip him on the chin and just stop him in the first round. I just have a feeling this is a much harder fight than people are imagining. I think Yard will win. But I think he's going to have to think a little bit, and it might go a little bit longer than we're thinking. It might go quite late. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it goes the stretch and Yard wins on points. But I think he might get to him in the last 2 or 3 rounds. I think Yard will get to him in the last 2 or 3 rounds.
Okay, Yard to win on points, by the way, 9-2. But Buncey looking at Yard to win maybe rounds 6-10 in the grouped round betting.
Yeah.
That's 11-8, rounds 6-10.
That's not the end of the world, is it?
That sounds good. Let's talk about some of the other fights on the card, the undercard.
Two British style of fights.
Johnny Garton we'll talk about next. He's in action against Chris Jenkins. Johnny Garton 1-9. The draw 25-1. Chris Jenkins 5-1. I presume you know Johnny Garton quite well, that nicknamed the Pexican, grew up and lives in Pexham, and he's got an all-action style as well.
Did you hear what you said? You said he lives in Pexham. So he's known as a Pexican because he's the Peckham Mexican. However, there is nowhere called Pexham on planet Earth. So he doesn't live in Pexham. He lives in a dreamland between Peckham and Mexico. Now, what he is, Johnny Garton, is a guy that turned pro to make a few quid to supplement his living. And then he thought, you know what, I might win a regional title. Then he thought, you know what, I might be able to get a crack at the English title. And he thought, you know what? Why don't I have a go at the British title? He's every single one of his fights has been a rip-roaring ride. And I really mean that. He's one of the most decent fighters I've encountered in 30 years in this business. And he's fighting a guy, Chris Jenkins, who's had a right hard run. He lost and drew in British title fight a few years ago, and I thought he won, certainly one of those two. He's seasoned. I just think the Garton might be a little bit too strong for him down the stretch. And also the Pexican brings an awful lot of Millwall fans. He's endorsed by Millwall Football Club kind of thing. And they're well behaved and they make a lot of noise and they really add to the excitement. I fancy Garton. Generally, I would say Garton on points, but I've just got a feeling he's on it. When you win a title, you get a bit of extra percentage. Of course, it's mythical, but it's a percentage in your head and in your heart and basically in your spirit. So I think you'll get, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Garton gets to him after about eight rounds. I fancy Garton to win, but I fancy him to stop Jenkins late in the fight.
Garton to win in round 8 is available at 16-1, but if you just fancy Garton by knockout, technical knockout or disqualification, that's 15-8. So that sounds good. And we'll finish with Liam Williams taking on Joe Mullander, making his first defence of his British middleweight title, Liam Williams. He's a class above Mullander, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah. This is a last roll of the dice, the kind of thing. This is the sort of the equivalent of a testimonial for a footballer or a rugby player or a cricket player. Of course, the difference is it hurts, and it will hurt for Joe Mullander, and he'll give it an absolute go. It might be over as early as about the fourth round, because Williams is quite vicious. Lovely fella, but he's really vicious in the ring. And Joe's incredibly game, and he knows, Joe knows, he said to me, at the press conference 5 weeks ago, he said, "I can't beat him on point, can I?" He said, "I'd be out jabbed by my mum in a fight." Yeah, and that's how Joe Mullander is, truthful to a fault. I think he'll have a go. I fancy he'll come undone. I fancy it'll end inside about four rounds, four or five rounds at the most.
Yeah, Williams too.
But he'll have a go. Don't worry. Williams by stoppage inside five.
Williams by knockout, TKO DQ, is available at 8-13. And if you fancy Williams in rounds 1-3, that's 13-2. Williams rounds 4-6, that's available at 4-1. By the way, that treble that you put up there, Buncey, Garton by knockout, technical knockout or disqualification, 15-8. Anthony Yard to win in rounds 6-10 is 11-8. And Williams by knockout, technical knockout or disqualification, 8-13. That treble pays just over 10-1.
Oof, I'm not saying that's the license to print money, but it ain't bad.
Buncey, thank you for your company.
My pleasure.
The global ambassador for Peckham. I love it, Buncey. Thank you for your company, and hopefully you'll be back soon. We'll talk boxing again.
We will indeed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.